Today's shiur is Le'ilu Nishmas Rachelea Bas Chaim Osher HaKohen. Left off in the previous shiur, we were talking about the issur of the Bas Mechola, particularly as it relates to Besar Of, and realized that according to probably the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim, Besar Of is in fact with the Rabbanim. There was a machlekes at the Rambam about it, but according to most of the Rishonim, the conclusion of the Gemara is that it's only with the Rabbanim. Not only does the Rambam say that Besar Of is only with the Rabbanim, but the Rambam actually gives us a reason why Chazal instituted this issur of the Rabbanim above and beyond other issur of the Rabbanim, because they were so concerned, specifically because the phraseology of the Torah is so unclear, and so potentially, not negatively, but potentially one could be misled by the phrasing of Chumash of Bechol Arimo. One may mistakenly think, as the Upper Korsan actually did, that Bas Bechol only applies to that mother's milk, only to a Gedi, and that particular mother's milk, which of course is clearly absolutely incorrect. So the Ibn Chazal went the extra mile and said that it's also even in things which are really not Bas Bechol Duraisa, such as Besar Of. But then the Rambam goes an even extra mile. And that was a round that we began to discuss on the 14th in the Rambam Kamos. We jumped ahead in the Rambam Kamos, we'll come back soon. But to the very last round, with the 14th in the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam posed the question, how could it be that on the one hand, we know the Chazal have the authority to institute Dinim de Rabbanon, on the other hand, the Torah tells us, Lo Sosif, Al Tosif, we're not allowed to add on to the Mitzvah Torah. How do you resolve those things? So if you take a look at the Rambam, back to the 14th in the Rambam Kamos, the Rambam explains as follows. Keta, the middle of the third law, Keta. Harikosu b'toyer lo sevash b'di b'chol avimah. The starting point is, it says in the Chumash, not to cook bas b'chol. B'pi ha'shmo lamdu, we have a tradition, shizah kosu b'osu levash v'lecho bas b'chol. Included is not only to cook, but to eat as well. And included is not just that animal's milk, but b'ein b'sar b'heimah, b'ein b'sar chaya. B'sar of mutti b'chol min ha'torah. So min ha'torah, the tzur of the mitzvah was given to us, b'heimah yes, of no. Now, if a later Beisdin will come and start to chisel away what the Torah Shavapah is. So the Torah Shavapah was, that doesn't have to be literally a Gedi, even a Chai is included. If a Beisdin will come and say that, no, it's okay, B'sar Chai is not really Deraisa, that's a Reza Gareya, that's about Tigra. And if a later Beisdin comes and says that chicken is Asur, but the Beisdin will not just say, don't eat chicken and milk. The Beisdin will say, chicken is deraisa. The Beisdin will say that chicken is included in the Pesach of Chumash. No, hareza moisif. That would be a violation of Tosef. So what the Rambam is basically telling us is that the Beisdin is not allowed to misrepresent the Torah. That's including the Parashat of Tosef. About Amar, but the Beisdin says, B'sar Of Mutter Min HaTorah. B'sar Of is really Mutter Min HaTorah. V'anu Neser Osa V'nodiyah La'am Shigzeira. But we as Rabbanim will make an Issa D'Rabbanim. And we will inform the people that it is a Gezeira D'Rabbanim. Shlo Yavu Min Adav HaChayim. That people shouldn't come to a mistake. And now the Rambam reiterates what he wrote earlier in Uchaz B'chal Zosuros. People will say, if chicken and milk is okay, then it must be whatever it doesn't say explicitly. The Chumash is okay. And then people will make the mistake. People will think deer meat is mutter. Other people are going to make a further mistake. They're going to say that it only applies to goats. Another basin is going to say, people will say that even goat meat is okay, as long as it's not in goat milk. Sholem el'imo, shehimino. If you have an achal, I'm going to have another basis going to say, af b'chal v'ein she'ein imam mutter. Sholem el'imo. That maybe the yisra of bas b'chal only applies to that particular mother's milk. So it's an unbelievably slippery slope. So once you give it a little bit, as the Rambam said earlier, because it's so unclear in the text of the Tashbich Sav, just how far reaching bas b'chal deraisa is, therefore the Chazal said, no, the buck stops here. Even Besar Of, which technically is not Bas B'chol Deraisa, it's still going to be Asur Min D'Rabbanan. So as long as the Beis Din tells everybody this, Lefikach Nesar Kol Bas B'chol Afilu Besar Of, Ain't that moisif? That's not called the moisif al Torah. Ala osa siyag la Torah. That's called a su siyag la Torah, and that's perfectly justified. Not justified. That's what Beis Din is actually supposed to do. Chen kol chayetzim is that. Again, the rabbin could have picked any other example in halacha of a din derabbanan that's misrepresented as a din deraisa, and that would be a violation about those. If you pick Nasbuchadnezzar, fits nicely into this whole model. But practically speaking, let's say a Beis Din will get up and say, we are hereby informing the Olam that moving the money on Shabbos is an issur deraisa for Shabbos. So that Beis Din is in violation of Malthus. If the Beis Din gets up and says, we hereby instituted issur derabbanan called Total Muktzah for reasons X, Y, and Z, whatever those reasons are, that's perfectly legitimate. Not legitimate, that is that's exactly what's supposed to happen. That's the mitzvah of the Shomer's Mishpat Esus Yagla Torah. So here the Ram is opening us a whole world in terms of the prohibition about Tosef, and he's using our example of Moshe Chalav to highlight this. So notwithstanding what the Rambam claims, that a Beis Din, in a sense, misrepresenting the Din HaTorah would be in violation of Tosef, the Ravid says he doesn't understand where any of this comes from. Comes the Ravid on the bottom of that Rambam. Ome Avram kol ele yisa ruach. He said the wind should blow all this away. Nice way of saying it. Doesn't any of what the Rambam just formulated is correct. She called Dabba Shigazra Allah, whenever the Chazal make the Gezerah, the Asrul Asiyah, and they prohibit something because of offense, Mishmerish al Torah, ain't Shubal Taisif. That is not Bal Taisif Bechlau. Afilu Kavul Adere, Spesu Kish al Torah, even if they present it as a Din Deraisa, who cares? Again, it's important for us to know whether something's Deraisa, something's Derabonim, for Sekis, for Kulas, different minor issues in halacha. But by and large, says the rabbi, who cares whether Chazal tell you don't move muktzah, it's derabbanan, don't move muktzah, deraisa. Who cares whether Chazal tell you don't eat chicken and milk together, whether it's derabbanan, whether it's deraisa. And says the rabbi, very often Chazal did do this. V'samchu l'mikra, k'diyashcha b'kham aduchti. Midrabbanan, across machta b'yama. He says that we find that almost Chazal is guilty of this baltosin with the Rambam. Chazal will sometimes quote a pasuk, and they'll say, it's not really, it's the Rabbanan across the Alma, it's not. But they're quoting a pasuk, they're confusing people, they're quote unquote misleading people, and maybe that should goof would be a violation of baltosin. So he says, the whole thing is, let's get down just to the second line, the end, I'm sorry, the second to last line. Lo timta isa mosiv el b'mitzis esek on lula v'tfilim v'tzitzit chiyotzaban. Bein the Shah, Bein the Darius, Bein Shikov, the Torah, Bein Shlokov. Says the Rabbi, the Rambam has an entirely incorrect picture of what Baltosif is. Says the Rabbi, you know what Baltosif is? Baltosif is when I walk in the shul with five batim in my tefillin. I walk in the shul with five minim in my lulav. I throw in a rose or a tulip for good luck to my dal minim. That's Baltosif. Those who are learning with us in the Tuesday night shurim, the Iyun shurim. So we spoke a lot about that in the past. And the issue about Tosif, particularly as related to Dalaminim, that's about Tosif material. But telling people not to eat chicken and milk in HaTorah, it may be wrong, maybe a sheker, but about Tosif, it's not. So this Machlokes Rambam and Ravid, everybody, both agree, both Rambam and Ravid agree that chicken is under Rabbanan. The only question is whether we have to inform the Yoyim that, or whether we can almost, communicate in such a way that's potentially even their eyes, and that would be okay.
Is there an Isser? Is there an Isser in itself when you say something is a deraisa when it's not, and Chazal's concerned that by doing something like that you create even a greater problem?
No, that's exactly what the Rambam is right. The Rambam holds that that's Mamash Baltosif. The Rambam holds that.
No, but besides Baltosif,
is there anything else wrong with that? Also, Henry's being Rambam is hinting to another issue called Ziyaf HaTorah. Ziyaf HaTorah means a falsification of the Torah. I'm misrepresenting the Din HaTorah, not in the realm of Bal Tosef or not. So there's a fascinating Maharshal that appears in the fourth parak of Maseches Baba Kama. The Gemara tells a story that the Romans once sent a delegation to the Mishnah, to the Yeshiva, that they wanted to know what was going on. They wanted to hear what are the Jews doing, what are they studying. They were suspicious a little bit. So the delegation was just sitting there. They were sitting in the back of Mishnah, my body was taking notes. And at the time, they were learning the Sugya Baba Kama. And something came up in the Sugya Baba Kama, which had to do with the Jews and non-Jews, and something that, and again, what's relevant is banazeh, not relevant whether that particular sugya is talking about at a time when the non-Jews themselves weren't careful about certain dinim of nezikin. So there may have been certain nuances that may not have been as favorable to non-Jews. So the two Romans were sitting there and listening to the shir, and she was being given, and they discussed that Mishnah, and it didn't come across so favorable. And the Roman delegation came up to the Rabbanim at the end, and apparently these particular Romans were nice fellows, and they said, listen, you know, what you just told us is not going to put you in the most favorable light, but we're going to leave that out of that report. That's what it said. Well, we're going to fudge over that. We're not going to tell the authorities you said such and such, because it's not going to be very, not going to look very positive. So the Marshal of that Gemara asked the question. He says, what? Why did they like skip that Mishnah? Like, what were they thinking? Didn't they realize they were going to get into trouble for that? So the Marshal explains that no, the chat was that the Romans were asking them. They were coming forward and they were saying, teach us this. So you teach us what it said. Tell us in this Mishnah we want to hear. So if they're asking you for a different Torah, you can't be a Zayif Torah. You're not like a false Zayif Torah. Are you going to get into trouble if you tell them the quote unquote the truth? So be it. You're not mechuyev to go running around and announcing and putting on every public setting, every single thing that may or may not be misinterpreted and misunderstood, and may not put necessarily everything in the most favorable light. You're not mechuyev to go get yourself into trouble. But if someone asks you directly, what is the din haTorah in situations such and such, so you're not allowed to funk and tell them a buba maitza because you don't want to get into trouble. Marshal says that's called ziyaf haTorah, and any falsification of the Torah, that's a terrible avery. You're not allowed to do that. So that's not baltoisif, that's a different angle of what he was alluding to. That's the idea of you have to present the Torah in an authentic and truthful manner. But getting back to the story in terms of baltoisif, so whether or not there's baltoisif in terms of chicken and milk is subject to a machlekes ma'am and derivin, but everybody agrees that's only the rabbanon, everyone except for that opinion of Tosfos. It's interesting that the first you point out, where did the rabbanon get this idea? Well, it's such a strange idea about baltoisif, like surim. Because I'm misrepresenting the facts. Our initial reaction about Toysev is the five bachtim in the tomb, the five species in the lulav. Had the Rambam, what's the source of Chazal for this idea? So some suggest that the Rambam got it from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that kol ha-moisif gareya. Anytime a person adds on to something, so they automatically are going to end up detracting from that same idea. But it says, Moshem ha-davadim, that when a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon that he's not allowed to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So when the Nochash confronts Chava and says that, how come you're not eating for all the trees? And he starts telling our story and everything. So Chava responds, no, we're allowed to eat all the other trees. We're just now allowed to eat the Eitz Hadas. Because Ki Amar Elokim, this is what she quotes to the Nochash, says that Kodesh Baruch Hu has instructed us, has commanded us that we're not allowed to eat for the Eitz Hadas, and we're not allowed to touch the Eitz Hadas. So stop. Wait a minute. Kodesh Baruch Hu had never told Adam HaRishon not to touch the Eitz Hadas. It's partially not true. It's not true. It's not true. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Adam HaRishon not to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but he didn't tell him not to touch the Eitz Hadas. So why did Chava say not touch it? Where'd she get that from? So the answer is that made a lot of sense. That Adam decided, Adam and Chava decided, it's the Beis Din of Gan Eden, where we sat in that Beis Din. So both Adam and Chava, they realized that, you know, it's a really, really bad idea to touch the Eitz Hadas. You know why? Because if we go anywhere near the Eitz Hadas, we touch it, we're going to get so excited, we may end up eating the fruit. Therefore, we're going to refrain from even touching the Eitz Hadas, which truthfully was a very good idea. If I was in Gan Eden, I would have built a fence around the Eitz Hadas. I would have put a barbed wire around the Eitz Hadas. It's not a good idea to eat, to come anywhere near the Eitz Hadas. So that was really justified. That was a legitimate concern that Adam and Chava refrained personally from touching the Eitz Hadas. But don't blame God because you're Baruch Hu. Don't falsify the Tzivei Hashem. And don't say, Ki Ambar Lakim Lo Soch Lo Lo Sigu Bo, because it's not true. Baruch Hu did not say to me, don't be no Gev Eitz Hadas. He said, don't eat the Eitz Hadas. But Chava should have responded with something along the following lines. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us, he commanded us not to eat dates from the Eitz Hadas. And we decided on our own, it would be a very good idea not to touch Eitz Hadas. That would be great. Then the Nochash never would have had a Pesach Peh. We would still be in Gan Eden. We wouldn't say Sebech Adach Alechem. And we would be having children without any labor pay. Everything would have been gewaldig and wonderful. But Lamais, everything went downhill from that point because Chava misrepresented what the Din HaTorah was. Some of the Pesachim say, that's where the Ram got it from. Kolmosiv Garea. You see that Baltoisiv applies even in Lav, even in Isurim. The Rai Vitayin against the Rambam, We don't find Bar Tosef by Isurim. So the Rambam would respond, yes, we do. We find it in a pre-Torah world. We find it in the world of Gan Eden. We find it in non-existence that Chava made the very first terrible mistake by misrepresenting an Issa de Rabbanan, so to speak, and by calling it an Issa de Raisa. Just as an aside, that Chava tells the Nochash that we're not allowed to eat for the Eitzadas. It's clear that Chava's eating itself was an Aveira. It wasn't just an Aveira gift on Rishon. Her eating itself was a violation of the Din HaTorah. Where did Kadosh Baruch Hu tell Chava not to eat the Eitzadas? If you look at the Pesuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon, Chava wasn't even created yet. How do you know that Isra applied to other people? Maybe it was an Isra only on the person who heard the Tzivah themselves. It's like when the Torah tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Klaus on HaSinai, so whoever he is at Dvar Hashem, whoever Kadosh Baruch Hu is addressing himself to, is bound by that Tzivah. So that's what the Torah has to say. That the Dini HaTorah l'doroseichem, the Dini HaTorah l'zachar charecha, the Dini HaTorah also binding in all subsequent generations. That's a chiddush. In theory, one would have thought that the mitzvah was given for the door, yeah, it's a mitzvah, that's it. The Aseres Dibros were given, the Torah was given to those who heard the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us multiple times, the Torah says, no, don't make that mistake. The bris is forever and ever and ever, and the priest is good for your children. So the Torah is very, very clear that the Dini HaTorah are not just for that one generation. But if the Torah wouldn't have reiterated it, the Torah wouldn't have said it, then the starting point is, because Rav didn't command me, so why am I bound by a command that was given 2,000 years ago? So why is Chava bound by a command that was given? We don't find in the Chumash, because Rav talks to Chava directly and tells her not to eat the us. So I was thinking that maybe the answer is because Chazal say that Chava was really part of Adam in some shape or form, whatever that means. But the Pesukim say from the side of Adam, and Chazal's interpretation is what exactly that means. But Chava was mamish in a sense of, they were called part of the Gavra of Adam, part of the Chetz of Adam, which was part of Adam Arishan. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Adam, he spoke to that entire entity called Adam / Chava, even though Chava as a separate entity, separate individual didn't exist yet, but she was still part of Adam Arishan. So now when the two of them were split, so she was still bound with all the Tzivui HaTorah that were given to her as part of Adam Arishan. So the Isra of the Kol Eitz Hagana, the Isra of Eitz Hadas, Tavra Al-Sofzli Menu, was binding her as well. Was part of the original Tzivah. You didn't need a separate Tzivah to Chava after she was created. She was no worse than being the original part of that first Tzivah. But that was vis-a-vis the Achila, vis-a-vis the touching the Yetzirah. So that was no Tzivah. That's why it would have been a legitimate thing for them to refrain from touching it, but not as part of the Mitzvah, not of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's word. So getting back to that story, that does the bottom line is, Bein Lefi Aram, Bein Lefi Araivit, we pass in the Halacha that Sar Oph is only Midr Rabbanan. But Tosfos is at the same thing view, according to Tosfos. Mitzar Oph is in fact deraisa. How do we pass in la'alocha? So all the poskim dal Shulchan Aruch is clear as day that the Mitzar Oph is on midrabanan. Nobody since the days of Tosfos disagrees. Shulchan Aruch, Ramot, Shach, Taz, all the nice camp, all the gedolei poskim for the last 800 years. It's nimnu v'gomru like the Rambam derived that the Mitzar Oph is on midrabanan. The question is, does anybody care? What's the difference? At the end of the day, it's going to be yasa. So what's the difference practically? Whether we're going to call it deraisa, we're going to call it derabanan. Does it make any real difference? So if you take a look back to the fifth of the Ramakom, this Rama that we read already yesterday, let's go back now to the Lamaisa aspect. It's up to now we were talking a lot about the Lomdus and the philosophy of the Raisa, the Rabbanah, the etc. Now let's get Tachas down back to the kitchen. So the Rama in the fifth of the Ramakom tells us, the Chaybisar Chayv Oaf, Bein Bechol, Chayv Bein Bechol, Eimei, and Os Bechim HaTorah, the figure of Mutlavashta Mutabanoya. Therefore, the Rambam says, because Bisar Oaf is only with the Rabbanah, therefore, the following two kulas are true. You're permitted to cook Bisar of B'chalav. You're permitted to derive benefit from Bisar of B'chalav. The only thing you're not allowed to do is the Asubi Achila. It is prohibited to eat Bisar of B'chalav. That is the problem. Asubi Achila, Kadesh Le'Yivshu, etc. But Lemaisa, the other Isurim, such as the Isur of cooking or the Isur of Hanah, in fact, practically speaking, lechatchila do not apply at all, even with the Rabbanon, on Bisar Oph. So this is already a nafkamina, this is already something that becomes relevant for us, the Maisa. But we have two problems, two issues with this Rambam. First of all, where in the world did the Rambam get this from? Is there a mokar and shas for such an idea? that we split between the Yis of Bishul and Hanoi on the one hand, and the Sechil on the other hand. The Chazal were only misaking the Yisr of Achilas, the Sarov Pachalov. So number one, where did the Ram get it from? And number two, what's the rationale? Why would Chazal formulate the Yisr this way? Why the Surim of Bishul and Hanoi, somehow lower level Surim, that we're not so worried about when it comes to Bsar Of. So we don't
know. What does the Rambam say is Osir by Bsar Of?
The Rambam writes that Bsar Of is Osir by Achila, Osir by Achila de Bersayfim, but it's Mutul of Ashla, Mutul of Hanoi.
So exactly what kind of Bsar Of is it that's Osir by Achila? Bsar Of that was soaking in milk? Bsar Of that touched milk? Bsar Of that was cooked in milk?
Whatever the standards of Bsar Behema would have been. So Minat Torah, Bsar Behema is only also when it's Mizbasha.
Exactly.
It's soaking, so then it's only Midrabanan. So all those Yisum Midrabanan of Bsar Behema, those Yisum Midrabanan that apply to Bsar Behema Deraisa, carry over to Bsar Of to Rabanan as well. So whatever those standards were, carry over.
So the difference is that by Bsar Behema, there's a basic Isur of Bishul.
Right.
So once it's Mevushul, then that Isur extends to Hana, and it extends also to Achila, Hana, and
Bishul, by all three.
Yeah, and Achila, yeah. Once it's Mevushul, it extends to the other two. But since by chicken, by Bsar Of, there is no basic Isur of Bishul, when does this whole thing start? At what point?
Oh, very good. Excellent. So the starting point is, if it's Mizbashel together, even though you're not allowed to be Mizbashel it, but again, practically speaking, Bishul doesn't really matter anymore for Bsar Behema either, because once Chazal and Misakein, that even if it's cold, it's Osir, even if it's Kovash, it's Osir, even if any and every time, even if it's fleshes and that milk is following it, because there's stuff still in your teeth in your mouth, all the Yisurim Rabban or Bas B'chalav were extended to Bsar Of as well. So even though you're right, there is no starting point in the Bishul, but the whole thing was a gezeira up to Bsar Behema. But still strange in the Rambam. How did the Rambam know? What's the source in the Rambam to differentiate between the Yisur of Achila versus the other two Yisurim? And what's the source? What's the rationale to do so? So not only is there no explicit source for it, there almost is a source in the contrary. There almost is an indication, Chazal, not like what it says in the Rambam. That's actually the very, very first Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Apar, first of the Mamakomos. So way back to number one, the Mamakomos. So the first Mishnah says, Kol HaBosar, Osu Levasha B'chol. That's the name of Apar. Kol HaBosar. All meat is also to cook with Cholov. Chutz V'sadar V'chagavim. The only things that are permissible are fish and locusts, the kosher chagav, the kosher locusts. Those were never included even with their abundance. But everything else, either besar behema deraisa or besar of derabanan, everything is also levashal b'cholov. Now, wait a second. Levashal b'cholov. Levashal means to cook. And the Mishnah is telling us that the only things that are permissible are the da'at of the chagavim, implying that even though ofus we paskin is only midirabanan, and the Gemara itself says that this Mishnah is only midirabanan, but the Mishnah uses the phrase levashal. Levashal means levashal. Levashal means to cook. So this is a very, very problematic source for the Rambam. It sounds like even on a level of the Rabbanan, Chazal extended the Yisur not to Achila but to Bishul as well. So all the Acharim say with us in Rambam that the Lashon Levashal here is Lav Davka. The reason why Chazal used the phrase Levashal is because we're talking about Basa B'cholam, and the Torah uses the phrase Levashal, but what the Mishnah really means to say is Kala Basa Asur Lechol B'cholam. They use Levashal almost like a Lishna, like a Shiva Delishna, like that. That's the lingo that we use when we talk about Bas B'chol, because Bas B'chol is B'chol Abimah. But in reality, in Halacha, it's not true that Kol HaBosar is not also Bas B'chol. Heim is also, but Bas B'chol is actually B'ut even L'Chachila. So the Rambam doesn't have a source explicitly. If anything, he has a source a little bit contradictory. But where did the Rambam get it from? There has to be some source somewhere that the Rambam got it from. So the Rambam probably got it already as Rishonim already. Other Rishonim, who were not even quoting the Rambam, other Rishonim derived it from a sugya in the sixth of the Mamakomos. We jumped down a little bit, back to the sixth of the Mamakomos, where the Gemara is discussing it's actually commenting on a Mishnah in Maseches Avodah Zarah, the second parak. The Issur is called Gvinas Achum. The Mishnah says that cheese that was produced by a non-Jew is problematic. What's problematic? It's basically milk. What's wrong with cheese? So there are many, many different reasons that are given why cheese is prohibited. So it's interesting. The Gemara says in the second battle of Adizara that the Tanoim discussed the issue of Gvina, and they don't explain why it was also. The Mishnah just says straight out, Gvina Zachab also finished, you need to finish the Gemara. Gvina Zachab was also. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Tanoim was approached by another Tan, a younger Tan. He asked an older Tan, he said, Satako, Nema Gvina Zachab. Why the Chazal asked Gvina Zachab? What's wrong with it? It's kosher ingredients. What's wrong with Gvina Zachab? So, not saying things were Bishmal. It was rather than answering the question, he gave him a beautiful drasha about a poskin shira shiru. He told him the dechem yayin, a different tayyir, a beautiful drasha appropriate for Cholamoy Shabbos, Cholamoy Pesach, drasha shira shiru. So the verse says, why did he do that? He asked him a legitimate question, Reimag Venus Asru. So why didn't he answer the question? So the Gemara says, because the gzeir was too fresh. The gzeir was just made. The gzeir had just been made very, very recently. And the Gemara says that whenever you make a gezeira, so it's not a good idea to be mefarse the tam a gezeira right away. Because if you give too much information, you start to explain away, it's also for this reason. This reason, if you start to tell the Hamon Am, you tell everybody right away, it's also the following reason. People say, oh, that's the reason. That reason doesn't apply to me. That's that. I discount that's a good reason. Therefore, what Chazal should do is they should just make a blanket this and say, we as the Beis HaGadol feel that Venus Akam are off limits right now. So get people used to the Isser. And then the Gemara says, after a year, then you should start to tell people why. Then they should understand, otherwise I think Torah is not a joke. So you have to understand a little bit. Then they don't understand the reasons and they want to understand how to apply the halacha later. So then later generations, you can be mefarsim what the reason was. So this Tana didn't want to be mefarsim the reason right away because it was still too close for comfort. But once the gzera made the lasted a year, it was already a scabble, cholesterol. So then they began to discuss that what the reason was. So now the Gemara tells us that there was actually a machlokes what the reason was. The Gemara gives us a few different reasons what the reason was for this gzera of Gvira Sakh. So the reason that's most relevant for us is this statement of the Gemara Chulin on the 6th of the Mount Thomas. Shmuel told us, why is it that Gvina of Goyim is Asr? Because they used to use an animal product. They used to use the keva of animals that weren't shefted properly in order to help make the cheese. We know that cheese is a natural thing inside the stomach of the animal, so the cheese begins to, the milk, the animal nurses, so the milk begins to turn into cheese because there are enzymes in the keva. Keva is one of the four stomachs of an animal. That in the keva of the animal, there are certain enzymes that work to curdle the cheese. So the making of cheese basically mimics that natural procedure that takes place. So the process that was used was they would literally take an animal stomach. So they would take milk and they would pour it into this thing with the animal piece of the animal stomach in it, or cavus nevela. And over time, the enzymes that were still inside that part of the animal stomach would work on the milk, would eventually turn the milk into cheese. So the Gemara says that because they were using animal products, that raises a whole problem. That raises a whole serious problem. We're taking a container of milk and we're mixing it with an animal product, with the orcavus novella. That's a huge problem. Why is that a huge problem? And what exactly is the problem here? So at first glance, it seems to be a twofold problem. Number one, it's a bos b'chol problem because you're taking meat, the or cavus nevela, you're taking potential halachic meat and you're mixing it together with milk. That doesn't bode well for bos b'chol. Number two, you also have an nevela problem here because the meat that they're taking is not kosher meat, it's a goyim. They're taking meat of nevelas and they're mixing it together with the cheese, and that is potentially posing a problem. The Gemara says, yeah, it's not a problem. That would be a violation of something, either violation of bos b'chol, violation of nevela, perhaps a violation of both. And therefore, we have to be very, very careful when we get our cheese from the goyim that we shouldn't be eating it because of these concerns. So you may be wondering, how do the Jews make cheese? So the answer is there are kosher ways to make cheese. We didn't yet learn them, but there are other ways of making cheese that wouldn't be violations of these isurim. So that's the simple reading of the Gemara. So we take a look at the at the night, at the 10th of the Ramakomos. So the Mordechai in Maseches Avodah Zarah picks up on this statement of Shmuel and extends the sugya a little bit. The 10th of the Ramakomos, the Mordechai, the reason why the cheese is off limits is because of this caver problem, because of the animal product. But the truth is that other Amoraim in Maseches Avodah Zarah that the Mordechai is quoting give other reasons why. Rav Chisda says that there are other natural ingredients that can be used to get the milk to turn it to cheese. You don't have to use animal products. You could use chametz, you could use vinegar, it'll do the same trick. The problem is, it has to be kosher vinegar. And therein lies the problem. If you're getting cheese from the goyim, so the goyim are using their vinegar. Where did they get the vinegar from? Their vinegar came from their wine. The problem is their wine is straight from wine, it's tam yenam. So comes Rav Chisda and says, the reason why Chazal didn't want you to eat the goyish cheese was not because they were so worried about the animal products. The real problem was that part of the cheese industry was using chametz, and chametz was a cashless problem. Rav Nachman says that they used to use other kinds of things, some derivative from fruits, of sraf, from sap, whatever it was, from fruits. What could be traded about fruit? What could be traded about fruit? It could be orla. It could be within the first 3 years. So that's a problem. So you have three different reasons that are given by three different Amoraim as to what the kashrus concern was. Everyone agrees that there's something going wrong in the cheese-making in the process of the non-Jews. And therefore, Chazal had to be concerned and had to trade up all the Goyish cheese. What that problem was, what were they using to make the milk, turn the milk into cheese? So a three-way machlokes Amoraim, what exactly the non-kosher ingredient we were really concerned was. Some were saying, Shmuel said it's a concern of the keva, of the rennet, the part of the animal, the enzymes of the animal. Rav Chisda was concerned with the vinegar, and Rav Nach was concerned with the orla. So now the Gemara has this follow. The Mordechai is quoting the Gemara. Prachinan ul Rav Chisda ul Rav Nach ben te'ase v'hano akasha. The Gemara says in Masechta Benazara that according to the reasons of Rav Chisda and Rav Nachman, why isn't cheese ase v'hano? The Mishnah says explicitly, the goyish cheese is mutar v'hano. If somebody gives you a piece of tray for cheese, You can give it to your cleanly. You can give it, you can sell it to a guy. There's nothing wrong. It's mutabana. So Gemara says, why isn't it asabana? According to Rav Chisda's concern that it came from trade for wine is asabana. According to Rav Nachman's concern that it came from straf orla, orla is asabana. So Gemara says, why isn't it asabana? Gemara says, taka kasha. Gemara says, you taka right. Taka should be asabana. Strange. Ulishmuel oparich. But notice, the Mordechai says, the Gemara never formulated the question according to Shmuel. The Gemara said, according to the other Amoraim, the Orla and Samyenam people, those Amoraim, the Gemara says, hey, wait a second, why isn't it also? But the Gemara never said a word questioning the other reason, the reason of Shmuel. Even though it's Bas B'cholav, so why did the Gemara say, hey, even according to Shmuel, it should be also Bano? Shema Mina Deinu also B'Achila. So you see from here, that according to Shmuel, we had no qualms, we had no hesitation. Why is that? Says the Mordechai. From here we can derive the Nesa Bas B'chava de Malicha de Kibush the Dafkia Bechila Asav Lo B'Hano. So the Mordechai says that from here we can derive. You know why this Bas B'chava is Mutar B'Hano? Because it's not their Aisa. Because it was never cooked. It was soaking together with the rennet, with the animal product. Maybe it was salted together. It was Bas B'chav that came about not through a vehicle of Deraisa. Bas B'chav Derabanan is not Asa B'hano. This was the Raya of the Mordechai, and this was most probably the Raya of the Ram as well. And the fact that the Gemara never asked on Shmuel, according to you, Shmuel, why isn't it Asa B'hano? Isn't it Bas B'chav? So the Gemara realized right away a very simple reason. It's not Asa B'hano because it's only Derabanan. So this is going to be the Raya. The question is this an absolutely convincing Raya? So the Mordechai already tells V'yesh Doichin. He says, not so simple. There are those who refute the Raya. So hopefully in the next year, we have to go back to the Shraya and fine-tune the Shraya a little bit, because this is setting the stage for Slamaisa. This is important for Slamaisa. We want to know, what is the source for the statement in the Rambam that anytime we have only Bas B'chol D'Rabbanan, it becomes Mutter, both Mibishol as well as Bahanah. So we're still not 100% sure whether this is the Makor or not. Some may refute the Shraya. And then, of course, the more significant problem is that, well, does it make any sense? You have a Tishtikal Raya from the line in the Gemara, but why should that be so? Like, make it, what is it about the Isser Achila that differentiates it from the Isser Bishol, from the Isser, okay? Wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos. Let's continue this again next week.
Thank you, Shabbos.
Rabbi.
You have a second influence? You have to close the recording. Let me just close the recording.
Just put 1 second.